afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Hope you're having a really great day. Really glad to have you listening. And I want to shout out to you if you stumbled on the dial. You don't know why you're here. You have no faith to speak of, and you're wondering, how did I get here? Well, I want you to know, I think God brought you here because he wants you to know how much he loves you. So stay tuned. We've got a great conversation up ahead. Well, if you listen often enough, you know that we've talked about this particular point on this show lots of times, but it really bears repeating here for today's conversation. There seems to be two extreme responses to the times we're in. One is shake your fist at the darkness. Well, that doesn't work. And the other is to hunker down and numb out on faux comforts so that you don't have to feel what you're feeling or deal with what you're seeing. Well, today we're going to talk about that second extreme. Do you ever wish you could just hide in bed till Jesus comes back? Well, first of all, remember this. There's no condemnation for us because we're in Christ Jesus. But still, if that's you, there's some good news ahead for you. My guests today are Martha Bolton and Kristen Ditchfield, and they join me to share how we can face life with courage, not comforters. The title of their book is, Can I Just Hide in Bed Till Jesus Comes Back? Facing Life with Courage, Not Comforters. We'll get them on in just a moment. A quick heads up, though, about our conference. I'm praying that you will join us. It's our second annual Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. It's coming up in July, but we're talking about it now because though we can accommodate lots and lots of people, last year we sold out. We had a major waiting list that we had to cut off as well. But even more so, our one-on-one appointments fill up pretty fast. And so this is what you need to do. If you have a dream, desire to be published, or maybe you've got a book or two under your belt, we've got major publishing houses represented. We've got amazing top-level literary agents joining us, some huge, huge authors who've experienced incredible fruitfulness and success, all ready to invest in you. All you have to do is hop on the website, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Also want you to know we've made this incredibly affordable. And somebody once said, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. And I'm just saying, if $250 feels like an impossible feat to you, ask God to bring some provision. Ask him to open some doors. I just dare you. That's what I did back when I first started out as an author. We had just pennies to rub together, but I knew God wanted me to go to Writers Conference, so we just started to save our pennies. We asked God for some help. He gave it, and I went, and the rest is history. I hope you will join us. Don't let fear stand in your way. Don't even let an empty wallet stand in your way. Start to ask God for help and see what he does. Again, check it out, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get him on the show. Martha Bolton's a longtime comedy writer who's written for such performers as Bob Hope, Phyllis Diller, Mark Lowry, and Chanda Pierce. She's a speaker and author of more than, count them, 88 books of inspiration and humor for all ages. She's been nominated for an Emmy, Writers Guild of America Award, and a Dove Award. This playwright novelist has also written for singers, politicians, and professional speakers. And then there's Kristen Ditchfield. She's an author, conference speaker, internationally syndicated radio host. She's passionate about calling women to a deeper kind of life that's found in a relationship with Christ. For over 25 years, Kristen's been encouraging those who love Jesus and teaching them to walk with him on a daily basis so they can experience a richer, deeper, more meaningful relationship with him. She's also the author of a lot of books, 75, and including the book you might have heard about, What Women Should Know About Letting It Go. And these two wrote a book together, Can I Just Hide in Bed Till Jesus Comes Back? This is the one time I'll have you guys talk at the same time. Kristen, Martha, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be with you.
Yes, good to have you. Well, we love to start every day talking scripture. Whether you have a life verse or just one you've been pondering about, thinking about these days, doesn't even have to relate to our content today, but we love the Word of God, and it's just our way of helping the Word come to life for our listeners. So, Kristen, we'll start with you. Is there a verse you've been thinking about you can share with us?
Absolutely. There's one that somebody text messaged me today from 2 Kings. Where God says, I have heard your prayers, I have seen your tears, and I will heal you.
I'll take that, too.
It's a powerful word. Amen.
Mm. Talk about it, Kristen.
Well, you know, I've been facing some new challenges in my life. You know, Martha and I have both battled health issues, which is one of the reasons you might want to pull the covers over your head and wait for Jesus. And if you'd ever told me that I would one day have a doctor's note telling me not to eat fruit and vegetables, I would have thought I'd be dancing in the streets, but I recently have been diagnosed with a bunch of food allergies, and it's been a big challenge. I've got about 30 things I'm supposed to avoid, and it's been bewildering and confusing. What do I do? How do I handle this? The fear of if what I put in my mouth next is about to trigger a reaction. I found myself standing in the middle of a health food store and just in tears knowing I was going to be walking out without a single thing because I couldn't find an item in the health food store that didn't have at least three ingredients I'm not supposed to eat right now. And I stood there and I thought, you know what, that's it. I'm going to go in bed and go back to bed and pull the covers over my head. And I thought, that sounds familiar. Mm-hmm. I feel like I wrote a book about that.
Yeah.
And I thought, wait, we did write a book about that. All right. What did we tell people to do? What was the sage advice that we gave? You know, God, what did you put on our hearts that I need to practice right now? And that's standing on his word and remembering that I'm not abandoned or alone, that he will give me the wisdom that I need. And that ultimately he'll bring me the healing that my body needs.
Indeed. Amen. Kristen, thank you so much for that. Martha, how about you?
Oh, my favorite scripture is Jeremiah 29:11, and that has become a life verse for me. And I always use the version of the Bible that most Bible scholars consider to be the most accurate, large print. But it says in there, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And so many times when things go wrong in our life and we don't have any answers and we look up to God and we say, what in the world is happening? He's there with that scripture. "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And it's just a scripture that you can grab onto and just trust in him, that he knows the whole path, that mm-hmm. he knows the whole picture. And you don't know what you're going through it. You don't know why you're going through it, but there's a reason.
Yeah.
And good will come out of it in some way, shape, or form.
Amen.
And it definitely will grow you. And you just don't know. You just have to trust. He's our daddy, and he knows what's best for us and what will be in our future.
Amen. Well, I'd love to know from both of you how this book was first born in your heart. I mean, I know I appreciate, Kristen, what you're saying. Again, as someone who struggled with health, I totally get it, the desire to pull the covers over my head. But I'm sure that you're also hearing from other people who are looking around at the times going, you know, what are my options here? But I'd love to know, you know, how this book was born in your heart.
Well, you know, we Martha and I have been friends for a long time, and we ran into each other at a convention a few years ago, and Martha asked me how I was doing. And I had that brief second where I could choose to answer honestly, or I could just say, oh, fine. And, you know, I was looking around at the world and feeling just so overwhelmed and oppressed. The things that were happening in the news every day, the direction of our culture and our country is terrifying and alarming. And I didn't have to look far in my own life to see loss and betrayal and grief, friendship issues, church issues, financial issues. I mean, I just was up against it and just feeling so overwhelmed. And I said to Martha, you know what, I just want to stay in bed. I just want to wait for Jesus to come get me. I got Netflix. I got chocolate. I'm good.
And Martha said,
that sounds like a good title for a book. You should write that. And I said, I will if you'll do it with me.
And that's how it was born. That is amazing. So I got to read. You have these top 10 lists in your book. And here's top 10 excuses on reasons for staying in bed. I'm seeking the Lord in a dream. I'm lying prostrate in total surrender. I'm using the ceiling tiles to count off each of my blessings. The pillows over my face help me concentrate on biblical matters. I'm testing out the quilts before mailing them off to the missionaries. I'm being a good steward and not wearing out the feet in my pajamas. That's an amazing sense of stewardship right there. The Bible says, be still, and I just want to be a doer of the word. I'm resting in the Lord and resting and resting. The less contact I have with the outside world, the more spiritual I am. It's easier to love people if you don't have to deal with them. And the number one reason, when Jesus comes back, he'll know right where to find me, and I'll be already wearing my robe. pretty good. So I want to know what the process was like, because you have some really, you know, true content as far as helping people overcome fears and anxieties, but you also inspire a belly laugh now and then. Did the process of writing this book surprise you as you guys started to dig in? Kristen, we'll start with you.
Yeah, it did. You know, we have a lot of experiences in common that I don't think we even knew about. We have a lot of, you know, those kinds of ideas and stories and things, but we hadn't worked together before. And just sitting down and kind of brainstorming, okay, what would have really helped us in some of those difficult times? And what are some of the ways that we have laughed through our tears? And, you know, we've both read, you know, gosh, every Christian Living book we could find, every self-help book, every, you know, over the years as we've battled different things. And many of them are great, and some of them are deep, and some of them are just too heavy sometimes. And you need to be able to take a step back and laugh. And so we both kind of came together and wrote what was on our hearts and compared notes. And it was a great experience, just encouraging each other. I think it really helps to know that you're not alone when you're walking through one of these difficult times. Somebody else has been there, and you know, it's such a comfort and an encouragement.
Martha, what about you?
Absolutely. I agree with everything she said. It was like friend therapy. Whenever she would share a story, then it would remind me of a story and vice versa. And it was just such an encouraging experience that we were blessed to have. And thank God the publisher was so eager to publish it. And so it just was a good way for us to take. It's another one of those things where, you know, God will bring good out of it, is whatever you went through in life, this was our way of being able to bring the good out of it and share what we had learned, what worked, what didn't work, and just to you know, get back into our own lives again, and just get back going, you know. All get right. going again and full steam ahead.
All right, talking to Kristen Ditchfield, Martha Bolton, title of their book, Can I Just Hide in Bed Till Jesus Comes Back? Facing Life with Courage, Not Comforters. If you need a good laugh, you can email to get in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put, I'm trying to think of what, Till Jesus Comes Back? Something like that in the subject line, and don't forget your mailing address. When we come back, I'd love for both of you to speak to truly how you've dealt with your fears, how you've dealt with disappointment and discouragement, how you get back up again, because I know some are listening today who are right there. More with Kristen Ditchfield and Martha Bolton when we come back. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Kristen Ditchfield and Martha Bolton, who've co-written a book about kind of getting beyond the hunker down theology, where we get so overwhelmed by what's happening in the news, what's happening all around us, what's happening in our own hearts and maybe under our roofs at home, that we want to just hide. But God calls us to courage, right? He calls us to faith. Scripture says he's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. So how do we navigate these waters in a day when so much stirs up our fears? And again, love to talk with you both about this, how you've really practically, I know you guys have been joking around a lot, but I really love to get some of some tangible tips for our listeners about how to navigate fears and disappointment and a perspective that seems constantly challenged. Kristen, we'll start with you.
Well, you know, there was a time many years ago where I just was overwhelmed and discouraged, just totally discouraged in every area of my life. We'd gone through a church split and lost a lot of friends, and there was a lot of confusion and hurt over that situation. I know a lot of folks can relate to that, unfortunately. You know, I was going through some financial struggles and health struggles. I was feeling really unfulfilled in my job. And like there was no way for me to use my gifts and talents. I wasn't really appreciated. And I was single, and I really wanted to be married and have a family. And all my friends had gotten married and started their families, and I was left behind. And there was just one thing after another. And when I looked around me at my friends and family, you know, a lot of them were struggling too. And I just felt so hopeless and discouraged. And I mean, I was at the point where I wasn't going to take my own life, but I didn't want to go on living. And I prayed. I asked God to just take me home. I don't want to go on. I can't take another day like this. Just take me home. If this is all there is, you know, just miserable. And one day a dear friend sat down and just kind of confronted me about the wild things that my emotions and my fears were telling me, the perspective that wasn't biblical and that wasn't real. It was all overblown and inflated. I mean, my pain was real. But the doom and gloom that overwhelmed me like a blanket, that depression and despair, wasn't the whole truth. And this friend challenged me to keep a journal. This is before all the apps and things that we have now. But to write down three things every day that I was thankful for. In fact, they made me promise, and that's the only reason that I did it, because of my love for them. And I agreed, and I started keeping a journal. And, you know, at first I really wasn't all that thankful. So I would put things like, well, I can breathe. I have a roof over my head for now. You know, I would kind of snarky about it and not very, very happy. But that gets old. And so after a while, I'd start to kind of try and think of some new things to write. And I'd start looking and I'd go, oh, you know what? Yeah, I found a parking spot in the rain and it was right by the door and I didn't get wet. You know, the radio, when I turned on the radio, it was my favorite song. I haven't heard that in a long time. A friend called out of the blue or dropped me a note, and I started to write down these things one after another, and before long, I was putting 8 things or 10 things or 15 things I was thankful for, and everywhere that I looked, I was seeing God move in my life and in my heart, and I was seeing him do amazing things that I had been blind to because of my despair, because of my fear and my anxiety. And it was such a faith-building exercise. It sounds so simple. We probably heard it before, if not in the words of the old hymn, you know, count your blessings, name them one by one. But when I actually did it and did it day after day after day, I began to see God moving. He opened my eyes, and it was such a faith lifter and such a blessing. Sometimes I return to that because I realize what a powerful thing it is to give thanks and to lift our eyes off of our circumstances and onto him.
Kristen, that's so good. And, you know, those are still, the things you listed are still painful, but we're not even meant to bear those things apart from gratitude about other things in our lives. Otherwise, they'll swallow us whole. But as you start to enter into a time of thanksgiving with God and noticing blessings, it puts, you know, your other pain in context. Did you notice any movement in those places that actually were causing you pain?
I did. You know, over time there was healing in relationships. I got a new job that was much more fulfilling, that allowed me to do more ministry. I had to wait a long time to get married. I got married last year at 43.
Congratulations. Wow.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That took a long time to see that answer to prayer. But in the meantime, God was at work, and I did see movement. As I was grateful, as I was standing in faith and hopeful, you know, I began to see God moving, and those situations did eventually, the sun did come out in the morning. Those things did get better.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. And Martha, love for you to share a similar story from your own life of when things looked hopeless and how you navigated it and how God broke through for you.
Well, with me, each situation, when it comes up now, you look back on when God has been there for you before. Mm-hmm. And I think that is another one of the purposes of when we go through things, is because we build on those. And then when you meet people or you get the opportunity to talk and share, you've been there. You know what those experiences, you know what they feel like, and you know that God was faithful and got you through them. And one of the stories that I share happened young in my marriage, the first 5-6 years of my marriage, we had gone through a period of very challenging times. I had a miscarriage and then a full term stillbirth, 10 pound 2 ounce baby boy, and I had no idea why something like that would happen to us. We were both working in the church. We were both being faithful to what we felt God had called us to do, and then yet we still had to go through such a tragedy. And we started applying for adoption, and those doors, we waited for a long time on the list, and then we moved out of the county, and then one by one those doors were starting to close because we had moved out of the county, and then they'd notify us, well, you moved out of the county, so we gotta have to take you off our list. And it was just disappointment after disappointment. And then one night I had a talk with God, and we had moved into a new house. We had moved in, you know, out of the county and moved into this new house, and everything was falling apart. But we decided to put one room together, and we decided it would be the nursery because everything was new. I had had 3 baby showers, and so we thought that would be the easiest room to put together. And we started putting it together, and my husband went on to bed because he had to work the next day, and I stayed up, and and had a pity party for myself, but felt very good at the moment. But I just told God that it wasn't fair. I didn't understand why he was doing it. And that was from midnight till 2 in the morning. And finally at 2 in the morning, I just gave it up. Gave it over to God and said, I don't know why all of these things are happening, but I'm going to trust that you do and that you have a plan and you know what, you know, if I never have a family, then that's your will, but I want one, but that's, I still love you. He's already proven his love on the cross. He doesn't have to do anything else that I ask for to prove that he loves me. He's already proven it. And I just gave it up. And that was at 2 o'clock in the morning. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, I got a call to go pick up our first adopted son.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
It was 4 hours after giving it up and giving it over and trusting. And so from there, I have been able to always go back to that experience, no matter what comes up, and say, God was there for me then, and he'll be there for me in this next situation that looks nothing like the other one, but it's still just as hard. But he was faithful, and he'll be there.
Mm. Just got about a minute and a half to our hard break at the bottom. Appreciate that story so much, Martha. Do you have advice for the person listening today who maybe has a history, but they are so wrapped up in that pain they've forgotten about it? What advice would you have for them to find some kind of perspective in their current pain?
Well, it's so easy to isolate ourselves. When we're in pain, we pull back, and that's probably the worst thing we can do. And we need to have somebody there that is a true friend, someone that will walk with us through those hard times, because life is tough. I mean, there's no getting around it. Life is tough, especially nowadays. It's very tough. And just to have someone with you, have a spiritual advisor that will lift you up when you're too depressed to even see the words through your tears when you're reading the Bible. And just have someone there to lean on and help walk you through it. And mm-hmm. if you don't have anybody, know that Jesus is there.
And Jesus is there. Boy, we do tend to isolate when we're hurting, and that's when we need community. We need to be around the table with other friends. Talking to Kristen Ditchfield and Martha Bolton. Title of their book, Can I Just Hide in Bed Till Jesus Comes Back? Facing Life with Courage, Not Comforters. Got a few copies. I'd love to get one into your hands. You can just email, if you want, in on the drawing. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. I'm trying to think of how to shorten this. Maybe till Jesus comes back. Put something like that in the subject line. Don't forget that mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. Having a really great day. I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for tuning in. This is Live the Promise, talking to Kristen Ditchfield and Martha Bolton, who've co-written a book titled Can I Just Hide in Bed Till Jesus Comes Back? Facing Life with Courage, Not Comforters. And you just look around at the news, you look around again at your own heart and your relationships, finances, all kinds of things. And the temptation is to want to hunker down, cover our heads, and just try to hold on. But you know, Scripture says overwhelming victory belongs to us. Why? Because we belong to Him. So surely there's another way to navigate all that's going on in our lives so that we can hold on to joy, that we can keep perspective and keep the faith. And so you guys have a chapter titled, Maybe the Sky Isn't Falling. And in essence, you address our tendency to kind of destroy the very quality of our lives just by living in fear. I mean, we fear so many things, some that never happen, but we've robbed ourselves of the strength that we can have for today. Kristen, talk about that whole idea and what we can do about it.
Well, you know, we live in an age, you know, where there's such a thing as clickbait, where all of these websites need us to click on the link and follow the link to find the information, or where the shows that we watch on TV, you know, they desperately need viewership to sell ads. And so they write these headlines, you know, three things that you must know if you have a child, or, who five things you're probably doing wrong that are killing you. You know, mm-hmm. they have these terrible headlines that just make it sound like the whole world, is awful and terrible. If you don't click on the link, you're gonna suffer a terrible fate. And you get our inboxes are flooded with it, our Facebook feed, the TV headlines, the little scrolling headlines that go across the bottom, and we're just bombarded with this message that everything is falling to pieces, and you've got to get more information, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. And, I've got enough stress in my own life. But when I start to give into that, when I start clicking on those links, before you know it, it's just overwhelming, and it gives us this false perspective of the world. And Jesus said we would have trouble, that's for sure. And Martha and I have both had our share of very real sorrow and heartache and pain. There's enough real trouble in the world, but he also said he had overcome the world, that he had overcome it, and that he had a hope and a future, as we've been saying. And so for me, part of it is setting good boundaries of not filling my heart and mind with that junk, turning off the TV, putting down my phone, clicking out of Facebook, especially during political season, and, looking for something positive and uplifting that will build my spirit and remind me of my true home and my true hope and what's really important to me. For me, at least, that's setting those good boundaries. And even some of the people I spend time with, some of my friends, all of my friends are fabulous. Some of them are a little more negative than others. And if that friend or family member is going to insist on concentrating, complaining on all the negative things, sometimes I have to limit my time a little bit. I can try and be cheerful and point to the hope that we have, but I've got to be careful about not allowing my boundaries to be overrun, not being overwhelmed by the negative, and I've got to listen for the voice of truth.
Boy, that's so good. My daughter-in-law writes a blog post whenever she's inspired, kind of, and she wrote one just recently about wishing she could go back to the day when she grew up, wishing that's the life because the social media has just overwhelmed and overrun her life. And so she just thought, well, I'm in this life, but I'm going to put some strict limits on my phone and all the time I spend on all this social media stuff. And she said she actually, by kind of fasting from it and drawing strict boundaries, she actually started to have dizzy spells. But she realized that she was having a physiological response to being cut off from it. And she said it only lasted a short time. And she said now she's getting ready to plant a garden. She's knowing peace. She said her life is so simplified by drawing some clear boundaries. And that's hard to do because we're just such creatures of habit. But we won't see the fruit that you're talking about without at least, drawing some lines in the sand, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I read a report the other day about teenagers having more plastic surgery so that they look like their Snapchat pictures.
Oh my.
With all the filters.
Wow.
Because we're so used to seeing ourselves filtered. And then we can't handle how we really look when we look in the mirror. And I'd love to say it's just teenagers, but I don't know how many times I've been online and one thing and another, and I'm like, I really need to lose some weight. I really need to get more fit. I'm looking so old. Oh, my goodness. What am I going to do about this? On top of all the world crises.
Yeah.
But those issues that just you weren't even thinking about it, and then it pops up in your feed. And that's where we're just setting those boundaries. And it's different for everyone. And I don't judge somebody else's habits because that's between them and Jesus. And what affects me might not affect them the same way. But I've got to be wise and discipline my heart and mind and choose what's better. Once you get through those physiological side effects, once you get through that initial withdrawal, it feels so much better. You can breathe easier and you can see better what's going on, what's really happening in the world around you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, Martha, before the break, you told the gut-wrenching story of first you have a miscarriage, then you have a stillborn, a 10-pound baby boy stillborn. I don't know how anybody would ever get over that. And, as you said, Kristen, that neither of you are strangers to hardship, and neither am I. And I think when you walk through something that's horrifying and hard and you realize that happened, I mean, these things happen, it's hard not to just hunker down and go, well, if God allowed this to happen, there seems to be no end to what he could allow to happen. And yet we can still destroy our current joy by fearing the unknown. Martha, how have you learned to navigate that based on what you've been through, but still not borrowing trouble that's not yours yet?
Well, I had to just trust in God, in God's plan, and that, certain things probably happened as far as like medical care and whatnot that weren't the best. And that doesn't bring my baby back. Mm-hmm. I can be upset about that, but it doesn't bring my baby back. And I had to really overcome when we decided to try again after we adopted two babies, and then we decided to try when I was pregnant when we adopted our second son, so there's 3.5 months between them. But still, I had no guarantee that the pregnancy was going to end well. So there was a lot of fear while I was pregnant. And then when I gave birth, they came in the next day and told me that our third baby now, with the two adopted and our natural, that our natural son had heart problems and would require a couple of open heart, heart surgeries, one open heart. And, here again, it's that roller coaster of life. And, you're ecstatic that you... that the birth went well, and then the doctor comes in and tells me that. And so, again, I had to just trust God that he had been with me through all the other times and that he was going to see him through. And sometimes we fluctuate between trusting and shivering and trusting and shivering, staying up all night and crying. And, so it's not like it's an easy path, but it is the ultimate path that you do finally get to that point where you say, God, he's in your hands. And they ultimately had the surgeries. He had two heart surgeries when he was 2 years old. And in the middle of one of them, they came out and told me that they didn't think he was going to make it. So there again, I found a room at the hospital and got down on my knees and had another talk with God and just prayed that he'd see him through. And he did. And today, he's a father of four and just doing great. So, my life motto is, life's tough, God's good, and laughter is calorie free. So it just is, if we think life's supposed to be perfect, that's where we get hung up, and it's not. It seldom is perfect. But God is with us. He's promised that, and that is a perfect promise that he will not fail, and he will be with us. So each time we experience it, that gets stronger and stronger within us, and we know that we know that we know.
Well, this question is for both of you. Martha, we'll go with you first. How are you better for your battles? What are some of your takeaways from some of the hard things you've suffered? Is just because you belong to Jesus? I mean, have you noticed that at all? Can you look back and go, I'm different because of this? I don't want to go through it again, but I'm different. I'm better because of this. What do you see?
Well, I see growth. Each time you go through something like that, you do grow. You can't help but grow. You can hide in the corner and refuse to grow, but you're going to grow anyway because you went through it. The experience is going to it's going to change you, and it can either change you to be bitter or it can change you to be better. And I see each time that something has happened, I've gotten stronger and less fearful and more dependent on God. Because it is out of our hands. So much of it is out of our hands. When, you hand your baby to the surgeon, it's out of our hands. I can't go in there and say, you better do it, this way or that way. I don't know what I'm doing. But I trust that God's going to be there in the room with him and the surgery's going to go well and that God's going to be at each step, whatever the challenge is, God is there with me for whatever growth or for whatever door opening or for whatever his plan is. He's going to be there.
Thank you, Martha. How about you, Kristen? You've when you've been on before, we've talked about this. You've had multiple knee surgeries, failed knee surgeries. You are no stranger to pain, to bed rest, to disappointment around that. And I mean, nobody would ever want to go through that again. I can't imagine how long that took for you. But do you see any redemption as far as any takeaway that you wouldn't have otherwise?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So many of the things that I've been through have humbled me. And I think that's a good thing because, sometimes we look around at other people who are making a mess of their lives and think, boy, I would do better than that. If we're keeping it real. We think, well, why don't they get themselves together? Well, why don't they fix things? Why don't they, be more diligent or more responsible or buck up? And when you go through hard times, they show you just how crabby you can be, just how selfish, just how full of self-pity. just how frail and broken and in need of a Savior you are. And, you know, that's been a huge thing for me, learning humility, learning compassion. A lot of the things, Martha and I talked about this, we've been through a lot of awful things, and boy, could we have a pity party if we really wanted to. But we both know people who've been through much worse. And we could look at their people who have prayed and waited and sought the Lord earnestly, and his answer has been no. It's certainly been no for us sometimes, and for others it's been much more tragic. And we look at that and go, okay, God has not singled me out for suffering. This is a part of the human condition. It's a part of the broken world that we live in. But our suffering is an opportunity to learn to know him better and to lean on him and to grow in grace and to experience his power, his comfort, his strength in our lives. And it's also an opportunity to give him glory, to say, Lord, I trust you. I you know, I started at the beginning of the broadcast talking about being in the grocery store and realizing I had to give thanks as I deal with these new food allergies that could be life-threatening. And I thought, well, what about all the people that deal with this on a daily basis that have for years? What about all the mothers who have children with terrible food allergies, much worse than mine? And here's an opportunity for me to give thanks and to say, okay, God, I'm going to have to depend on you in this situation, and I can have compassion for others. And I can share, you know, what you're teaching me and how you're speaking to my heart and be a blessing. We can turn this into something good. He's already at work turning it into something good.
Good. Talking to Kristen Ditchfield today, Martha Bolton. Title of their book is Can I Just Hide in Bed Till Jesus Comes Back? Got a few copies you can email if you want in on the drawing. Live the promise at myfaithradio.com. Put Jesus come back, till Jesus comes back, something like that. Don't forget the mailing address if you want in on the drawing. A few of you will end up with this book in your mailbox within about the next week. Wish we could reply to each of you. We just can't do that. But when we come back, Martha, you tell a story when you went to Canada for a TV interview and you ended up going to see Niagara Falls, kind of talking about the adventure. So that's my next question for both of you. Times in the midst of where you could really cover your head, but instead God said, have faith, make some plans, step out. I want to know an example from both of your lives in that regard. We'll be back in a minute. Love that song. It's an older one by Stephen Curtis Chapman. But sometimes when you're in that place of the sameness and you wonder when the breakthrough is going to come, the best thing you can do is just take the next step and then take the next step. I'm really glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Kristen Ditchfield and Martha Bolton, who co-wrote the book, Can I Just Hide in Bed Till Jesus Comes Back? And I asked you before the break, I want you to just talk about this here for a moment. Martha, you were talking about a time in the book where you went to Canada to tape a TV interview, and you just decided, I got to go see Niagara Falls. And it was kind of an adventure. Tell us what happened there.
Well, I don't like to be cold, but there I was in sub-zero weather, and they told me, I didn't realize I was that close to Niagara Falls, but they told me I was, and so they said, you just go down here and get the transportation over to the falls, and it's very easy. And I vacillated back and forth and trying to talk myself into it and telling myself how cold it is outside, and I was all alone, and I normally don't do this, but I wanted to see the falls, so I just pushed myself and went out there and got onto a bus that took us to another area where I was to catch a taxi, and I had to get out and wait at the taxi stand in this kind of weather. But when I got to the falls, oh my goodness, if you've never seen the falls in the winter, they're spectacular. And when I got back to the hotel, I'd seen the falls. I even got up the courage to ask someone to take my picture just as proof that I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got back to my hotel and took a hot bath and just was amazed that I had done it. And when we push ourselves to do something, push through the fear, it helps us for the next time we have to push ourselves through. And I remember I was visiting a friend of mine that had cancer, and she lived up on this high hill, and it's scared me to death to go up that, and I almost turned around and said, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And then I kept telling myself, if she's facing what she's facing, I could face this hill, and just kept pushing it, pushing myself on up there, and I did it. Hmm. So when, you know, don't let fear stop us from doing the things that, you know, we either want to do if it's a good thing, or we should do.
Indeed.
And, you know, fear is going to come in there, and we just got to push our way through it.
Mm. Kristen, how about you again? With all the setbacks you've had with the multiple knee surgeries, right in the midst of that, it takes some audacity to maybe plan for the future, to plant some seeds for a future harvest. How did you do that?
You know, there have been many times where I've been afraid. What could go wrong? What if something goes wrong again? What if I'm stuck? And it's tempting to not make plans for the future. It's tempting to assume that things are always going to go wrong. One of my ways of my natural ways of coping with fear is control. Let me see if I can control everything that I think is within my power. And if I can learn as much as I can, and if I can prepare for every eventuality, then maybe I can keep pain or I can minimize the pain that may be ahead for me. And yet that just causes more worry and stress and exhaustion and learning, you know, to be wise, but to just keep trying, keep stepping out in faith, keep believing that there is hope and there is a future and God will be with me. Like Martha mm-hmm. said, you know, we look back and go, He has been with me every step of the way. And this is a way that I can honor Him. By putting it on, casting all our cares, right? He said, cast your cares upon Him, and He will sustain you. And so sometimes it's just actively. Sometimes I just write it down. It's really helpful to sit down and write down, what am I really worried about? And 3 pages later, I mean, you don't have to be a writer to start dumping out all that fear and confusion and anxiety and just put it all down on paper and then look at it, and it somehow it loses its power. You can go, you know, half these things aren't even going to happen, and half of them I have no control over, you know, or maybe they were things in the past. Or, you know, there are just a few that I can actually do something about. All right, Lord, show me what to do about the things I can control. I can call and apologize to someone I've hurt. I can do something kind and loving for a family member who is suffering. I can make wise choices about what I eat and how I exercise and do the best I can to take care of my health, follow my doctor's directions, do my rehab exercises. You know, there are some things that are within my control and some things that are not. And so I trust God. I do the things that I can that He shows me to do and choose not to live in fear by trusting Him with the rest.
Mm, so good. Remember, I've shared this on the show before, but as a young mom, when I was battling Lyme disease, you know, it wrecked my brain. I had short-term memory was pretty much wiped out back then and a lot of neurological scary stuff and fatigue. And I had fear because the symptoms were so scary. And fear has always been something, anyways, I battled. So, and the doctor said, you know, you should go to a support group. And I just knew I couldn't do that. That may be for someone else, but to hear everybody else's stories, especially around Lyme, because it's so unpredictable and acts like so many other diseases, I thought the worst thing I need, the last thing I need is to hear everybody else's stories. It'll just strike fear in my heart. And prior to getting sick, I was a fitness instructor. And I'd always dreamed of getting certified. And so I literally, while I was sick and hooked up to IV and honestly thought that disease was going to kill me, I studied for my certification in fitness, and it made no sense whatsoever. But it was planting seeds. I knew it was something God wanted me to do. And I bring that up because I think somebody's listening today, and you're so busy reacting to the junk that you're dealing with right now, that God wants you to step up and dream about the future and plant some seeds. So ask Him what those seeds might be and start to plan for the future, right? In the face of this current battle. And girls, as we get ready to wrap here, I'm wondering, Kristen, if you would pray for that person I just was speaking about, that they would have a sense from the Lord. And, you know, I could just picture Jesus taking their chin, lifting it up, saying, look at me. Okay, I've got a future, a hope and a future, you know. Would you pray for that person?
Absolutely. Lord Jesus, you see their heart. You see this person's heart. You see their tears. You see their fears. And you know. And you have compassion. Lord, I just pray that you would reach out and that you would speak to them, that you would bring your word to their remembrance, that you would bring friends alongside of them who will help them sing the song that's in their heart, and that you would give them a new vision for what you intend to do in them and through them in this next season of their lives, that you would give them eyes to see and faith to believe in what you are about to accomplish, and that they will stand in that and be comforted and encouraged and challenged. And that they will take the next step in obedience. Empower them, Lord, to take the next step, one step at a time.
bless them and comfort their hearts now, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Beautiful prayer, Kristen. Kristen Ditchfield, Martha Bolton, thank you. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Good to be with you. Title of their book again, Can I Just Hide in Bed Till Jesus Comes Back? I just want you to have a moment here to hear a portion of this song, because especially if you're in that battle, the enemy's threatened to take all kinds of stuff from you, but there's things he can't take from you. So let's listen as we get ready to wrap here. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in. Hope we encourage you here today. We'll meet you back here next time.